Threading the Eye of the Needle by Awake Rider in Australia. When British explorers discovered Bass Strait in 1798, naval officials were delighted. Separating the island state of Tasmania from the Australian mainland, this ocean passage cut 700 miles off the voyage from England to Sydney. Bass Strait, however, has proved to be one of the roughest stretches of water in the world. There, westerly gales, strong currents, and a shallow average depth of some 200 feet conspire to create confusing seas and huge waves. Also dangerous are the jagged reefs of King Island, which lies in the middle of the strait at its western entrance. Negotiating Bass Strait nowadays presents no problem, but that was not the case in the days of sailing vessels and primitive navigational aids. Sailing into the western entrance of the strait was a nerve-wracking experience, aptly described as threading the eye of the needle. Sailing the Great Circle Route. During the early 19th century, ships took up to 5 months to travel the 12,000 miles from England to eastern Australia, and the voyage was anything but pleasant. Usually, the hundreds of passengers, mostly immigrants and convicts, were crammed below decks in deplorable conditions. Seasickness, malnutrition, and disease were rampant, as were vermin. Death was commonplace. Still, the hope of a better life gave many passengers strength and stamina. The footnote reads, "During 1852, one child in five aged 12 months or less died en route from England to Australia." End of footnote. In 1852, things took a turn for the better when Captain James Bully Forbes found a shorter route. Abandoning the 39th parallel, which seemed to be the shortest path across the southern Indian Ocean to Australia, Forbes took the Great Circle Route from England to southeastern Australia, which led him farther south toward Antarctica. The footnote reads, "A cord pulled tightly between any two points on a sphere will lie along the shortest distance, the Great Circle." End of footnote. Despite icebergs and huge waves, Forbes' ship, the Marco Polo, with 701 emigrants aboard, docked at Melbourne in Victoria after just 68 days, cutting the travel time nearly in half. The record was opportune indeed, for Victoria's gold rush was in full swing. News of the swift voyage prompted thousands of would-be miners to scramble for passage to the land down under. After ships left England, the next landfall was Cape Otway, some 9,700 miles away. Navigators used a sextant and a set of tables to calculate latitude, and they used the ship's chronometer, set to Greenwich Mean Time, to ascertain longitude. Local time was determined by the position of the sun. Each hour of difference between local time and Greenwich time represented 15 degrees of longitude. The two readings, latitude and longitude, enabled a good navigator to determine his position with reasonable accuracy. But things could go wrong. Clouds might obscure the sun for days on end, and early chronometers were not always precise. 1 second gained or lost every day for 3 months could put a vessel up to 30 miles off course. In rain, fog, or darkness, strange ships could miss the entrance to Bass Strait and come to grief on the rocky coastline of either King Island or Victoria. Doubtless many a traveller echoed the sentiments of one captain, who upon sighting Cape Otway from a safe distance cried out, "Thank God, we have made no mistake." It is testimony to the skill of 19th-century mariners that most were able to thread the eye of the needle without incident. Some vessels, though, were less fortunate. A ship's graveyard. Before dawn on June 1, 1878, the Clipper Lockhart sailed through thick mist toward Victoria's coastline. The mist had lingered from the previous day and had hampered the captain's noon sextant sighting. As a result, he was much nearer the coast of mainland Australia than he thought. Suddenly, the mist lifted to reveal sheer cliffs 300 feet high, just a mile away. The crew worked frantically to turn the ship, but wind and tide conspired against them. In less than an hour, the Lockhart struck a reef with a great crash and sank 15 minutes later. Of the 54 people aboard, only two survived, ship's apprentice Tom Pierce and passenger Eva Carmichael, both under 20 years of age. Tom clung for hours to an upturned lifeboat in the cold winter waters. Finally, the tide swept him into a narrow gorge between the cliffs. Seeing a small beach littered with wreckage, he swam to safety. Eva could not swim, so she clung to wreckage for about 4 hours before being swept into the same gorge. Seeing Tom on the beach, she cried for help. Tom plunged into the surf, and after struggling for an hour, dragged the now semi-conscious Eva ashore. She related, "He took me into a wild-looking cave a few hundred feet from the beach, and finding a case of brandy, broke a bottle and made me swallow some, which revived me. He pulled some long grass and shrubs for me to lie on. I soon sank into a state of unconsciousness and must have remained so for hours." Meanwhile, Tom climbed the cliff and raised the alarm. Less than 24 hours after the Lockhart sank, Tom and Eva were taken to a nearby homestead. Eva had lost both her parents and her 5 siblings, 3 brothers and 2 sisters, in the wreck. The following is supplementary information. What became of Tom and Eva? Tom Pierce and Eva Carmichael, the only survivors of the Lockhart shipwreck, became instant celebrities in Australia. Newspapers sensationalized the wreck, hailed Pierce as a hero, Eva Carmichael as a beauty, and seemed determined that the two should marry, says the book Cape Otway, Coast of Secrets. Although Tom proposed, Eva declined his offer, and 3 months later returned to Ireland. There she married and raised a family. She died in 1934 at 73 years of age. Tom returned to sea and was promptly shipwrecked a second time. Again he survived. After working for many years as a master of steamships, he died in 1909 at the age of 50. Returning to the article. Today, thousands of vessels, large and small, ply Bass Strait safely every year. En route, they may pass more than 100 confirmed wrecks. Some of the wreck sites, such as Lockhart Gorge in Port Campbell National Park, Victoria, are visited by tourists. The sites are a poignant reminder of those courageous 19th century souls who, after voyaging halfway around the world, braved the final leg, the needle's eye, in search of a better life. End of article.